Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 531. Still at the air show. I'm getting ready to roll out of here. It is Friday morning. It's been an amazing week here at EAA in Oshkosh. So that is what is up. And it's, you know, I just woke up and I'm going to roll the radio show, which has got some new content. And what's cool about this radio show is that I recorded it during the simulated attack on Pearl Harbor. And you can hear the planes in the background, and this is the way it is here at the show. I mean, there's just constant aircraft, and it's there's always something going on, helicopters or airplanes or something to that effect. So here is segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show, number 37. From the EAA in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, you're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So I am live at the EAA Air Venture Air Show in Oshkosh, and what's happening right now is they are recreating the attack on Pearl Harbor, which is a perfect backdrop to the opening of this particular installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So it's a little different show today as this goes on in the background. And then the air traffic controllers are partying right next door to me. So this has been a crazy week. So it's been 2 weeks of intense coverage of two mainline political party conventions. Really, they've been week-long TV commercials for both sides of the political spectrum over the last 2 weeks. First, the Republicans in Cleveland, and then, of course, the Democrats in Philadelphia just this last week. During and after these conventions, supposedly the American people start paying attention to the presidential race, right? Up to this point, it's just been a political game, and it's just been political geeks supposedly paying close attention to everything that's said and done in the political world, examining every statement and news story for its impact on the race in general. Now, it's a rule of thumb in politics, I guess, that people only start paying attention right after these two-week-long TV commercials, as I said, first for the Republican Party in Cleveland and then for the Democratic Party in Philadelphia. It is a heyday for the media, and not just the political media, but TV and radio and digital outlets from around the globe. I was sitting at my friend's farm in Illinois, and we were watching TV with the sound down, and here I look up, and it's Entertainment Tonight. Live from the convention. So it's everything. Russia even got into the act this week by allegedly releasing, through Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, a trove of DNC emails that are supposed to show DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz working against Bernie Sanders during the primary season. Somehow I'm not surprised, but I guess some people were. The big story from the DNC, as with the Republicans a week before, is that the establishment versus the grassroots ended with the establishment winning. Aside from the resignation of Wasserman Schultz as DNC chair and her coming on board with the Clinton campaign, talk about landing on your feet, as in Cleveland, with the Republicans, the establishment won. And if my Facebook and Twitter feeds are any indication, there's no shortage of people who have completely lost their moorings with reality. Now it's about supporting your party. Now it's about your guy versus the other guy, and both party faithful basically saying the same thing about this contest for the presidency in 2016. You don't want fill in the blank to win, do you? What are you, crazy? If fill in the blank wins, it's going to be a disaster for this country. What's wrong with you? And so on. Now, these are not arguments. To say to somebody, do you want Hillary Clinton to win? Or to say to somebody, do you want Donald Trump to win? Is not an argument for or against your candidate. But this is the way it goes. So reading these comments on Twitter and Facebook and wading through the snark and the nastiness and the nonsense, that is only just getting started, just like the attack on Pearl Harbor over here that's being reenacted. Listening to the radio and watching cable TV news leaves me feeling depressed and angry, but more often than not, just plain sad. Because despite a large number of news sources and tools at our disposal, people in this country are overinformed and mostly ignorant of the contours of the issues. Party planks notwithstanding, both sides have broken loose from their traditional positions on almost anything and everything, and very little makes sense, at least politically, on either side of the so-called aisle. Forget about the rank and file, even thinking about or arguing any of those issues, because it's all about their guy winning. Did the primary to convention process fail us this time? Did our political process produce the two worst possible candidates to run for president in 2016? Only you can answer that for yourself, and only time will tell after the inauguration in 2017. This time around, as I said, the establishment won, and the grassroots was rebuffed and rebuked. Experience and political maneuvering won over passion and principle in both mainline political parties. And I think that is a watershed. And I also think that eventually leaders are going to have to answer for this, and I think changes are going to have to be made to the mechanism by which 50 states and some territories recommend to the mainline parties which candidates they would like to see nominated to serve the national candidates and ultimately president of the United States. Now, in this case, the two candidates that won were the candidates that had the most votes, but there are a lot of really bitter and upset people on both sides of the fence in both parties. And I think the way that we talk about politics has to change, whether it's Trump or Clinton. You simply cannot reason with people anymore. Either you belong to this tribe or that one, red or blue, blue or red. And if you try to reason, you're cast out as lukewarm. And it's almost become a religious kind of an experience. To that end, I am glad to be here at a wonderful celebration of freedom in flight at the Experimental Aircraft Association's Air Venture Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. There is so much to see and hear at this show. It boggles the mind. Lots of planes and food and fun and sun with very little politics. But implicit in this very positive group of aviators, engineers, entrepreneurs, and experimenters is the concept of liberty, freedom to pursue your passions, and encouragement to do that. There's not much more American than that. Now, this is a fly-in, which means people fly to Oshkosh from all over the world, land here, and camp by their airplanes all week. And we're going to talk to one of those campers. And all week, there are presentations, lectures, discussions, displays, sales efforts, free flights, and tours, and thousands and thousands and thousands of airplanes, it seems like. One of the things that we are all interested in is the potential for the development of a flying car, right? It might be the cure for our congestion and gives all of us individually the freedom to fly. We're going to talk to the manufacturer of one of those flying car projects to find out what the challenges are in building, testing, and selling a flying car. And finally, I'll be back with some air traffic control audio because this is the busiest airport in the world for a week, bigger than O'Hare and Atlanta combined. And some final thoughts about what it's like to spend a week here at the EAA Air Show and talk about the freedom to fly and what it means for all of us, young and old. Now, of course, I'm right by the air traffic controllers, and you know, there's a little hospitality tent here with those guys, and so they've got audio of ATC here at the tower, you know, at EAA, and I could sit and listen to that all day because it's just snap, 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 constant, all these planes coming in and out, and they just tell these guys what to do, and they call them by plane type, and it's amazing how they do it. There's two guys that are spotting and two guys calling up there, and they're on for maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour, and they're out of there. So there's a several, you know, score controllers that are working this airport right now, and it's amazing to hear it, and we're going to get a chance to do that. So I'm looking forward to doing this show this week, live from EAA. It's going to be an interesting, different Bob Davis podcast radio show, kind of a remote from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and kind of a break from the constant political drum, and some of the worst things that have happened that I've seen in a long time with the terror attacks in France this week. So let's get started. Coming up, how'd you like to fly out of your hometown in your own personal aircraft, land in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and camp for a week next to your plane? Well, you can, and we'll talk to somebody who does every year. Next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. We are live at EAA at Oshkosh 2016 aboard Mobile Podcast Command, just ahead of segment two for this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. I'm getting ready to roll out of here and head back to Minneapolis and St. Paul. And, you know, we've had variable weather. We've had... There goes the F-A-18s. We've had variable weather. Now it's pouring down rain at various times today. And of course, with the heat and humidity, you might be a little concerned about your AC. So if you have an emergency problem with your AC or plumbing, who do you call? You call Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too for four generations. What they do is quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. So if you have a business, a lot of times you may not know who to call, and Ryan does a lot of emergency service for business. They're on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. So what do? In case of emergency, plumbing, heating, AC, think of Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Wherever you are in the suburbs, they can get a plumber or an AC specialist to you. If you want reliable service, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 for four generations in St. Paul, residential and business, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Here we go. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show, live from the EAA in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, as they simulate an attack on Pearl Harbor. So that's going on while we're talking. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Yeah, we're in the middle of an attack. A simulated attack on Pearl Harbor here at the air show in Oshkosh this week. And if you come into Oshkosh on the freeway next year or next time, when you get to Route 44, you know, you pull off and you're going to see an airport, and then you're going to see thousands of planes parked with tents next to them, along with hundreds of RVs and tent campers here at the Air Venture Show for 2016. Then there are thousands of other kinds of planes. But the first thing that you're going to see when you get off the exit are all these planes and the tents next to them. What's it like to fly into this event and camp next to your plane for a week? By the way, yeah, they have showers too here at EAA. So you flew into EAA.
Yes.
What'd you fly?
A Mooney Ovation, M20R.
So what's it like flying in and camping out? You got quite a little setup here.
I got a condo here. This is a condo.
Right.
Someone asked me if I got the pool option. No pool. I couldn't bring it in the plane. It's great. It's a fun time. You know, it's challenging flying in because there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I typically try to fly in IFR, so I get a reservation slot and just bring in over the lake and land. But either way, it's fun to get in, and camping out's a blast. There's always new people to meet. And
right. Do you do the runway or just land on the field? So you land on the runway.
Land on the runway,
right.
Sure.
Yeah. And that, because yesterday it was just, how did you get in here with the weather? Did you come in the day before? Or?
I came in Saturday morning.
You were like,
Saturday morning, before it all started.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yesterday was nasty. No, but even Saturday they were calling for rain, and it just kept deteriorating as it got close to Oshkosh.
Right.
And so when it looked like it was going to rain in 45 minutes, it didn't rain for 4 or 5 hours. But when it rained, it rained. Yeah.
So how
That's
many,
always the challenge.
How many EAAs have you been to?
I don't know. This number 6 or 7 or 8. I don't know. There's been a number.
So you come every year. What do you do in real life?
I'm a chiropractor.
Great.
Yeah.
People should not laugh when we say that. But.
No, it's okay. Back in my neck of the
woods. I never would have expected you to say you were a chiropractor.
What did you think? Rocket scientist.
I thought maybe you were a home-build guy or something. So.
Well, that's my other life.
What you do. What provoked you to start flying?
Oh, I've wanted to fly since I was in 6 or 8 years old.
Right.
And no one in my family flew. It's the most interesting thing.
Oh.
You know, nobody flew in my family. So I just wanted to fly. I would have been in the military if I had 20/20 vision.
Oh, so then you went and took lessons and started flying.
Yeah, but not till I was almost, I guess I was about 35 when I started to fly.
Yeah, because that's kind of a question. See, I don't fly, but then I'm wondering, well, should a person who's, you know, in their 40s or 50s start flying?
Oh, I don't think it matters.
It doesn't.
Why not?
Well, I always worry that, you know, your reaction time isn't as fast and you're going to make mistakes and things like that.
Well, we all make mistakes.
Just don't want to make them fatal.
The terminal, that's right.
Just get there.
Right.
Well, that's kind of cool. So, any good stories from the previous, well, what did you say? You've been here 6 or 7, 8 times?
6, 7, 8 times. I haven't counted. They're all good. They're all different. You know, they're just, it's fun. I have kind of a family now. You know, it's like going and visiting this salesman at this place and,
right.
You know, people that I fly with and people that I met here before. And it's just.
Do they wonder, Mike, oh my God, there's your plane. And what's your name?
John Cornell.
Okay. Yeah. So they say, there's John.
Yeah. Well, when I turned the engine off, there were 3 people there waiting for me.
That's great. That is really kind of cool. And it's one of these American celebrations that is really second to none. And there's nothing like it because everybody's interested in aviation and they're just here to have fun and learn stuff. And
absolutely.
Meet friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what makes it
people
great.
Say, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They for what? I said, the largest general aviation airplane gathering in the world. And that's what it is.
Do they, I didn't even ask, what was the question I was going to ask? I just, oh, where are you from? That's what I forgot to ask. I'm sorry.
Man,
how dare I?
How rude. Central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Where Penn State University is.
So you flew all the way from Pennsylvania to Oshkosh.
Yeah, it's not that far.
No. How long did it take you?
With the winds, it was 3 hours and 23 minutes, actually.
Less time than it would take to drive from Chicago, let's say, obviously.
Right. Yeah. No, it's probably a 15-hour road trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I drive around in an ambulance. I have an old ambulance that I've repurposed as a studio, a production studio.
Uh-huh.
I drive around at some of these events and stuff. And I was in Cleveland, so I drove from Cleveland. And it's quite a drive, so I wasn't even at
Cleveland.
Yeah.
See, we just go across Lake Erie, across Michigan, across Lake Michigan, and here.
Yeah, direct.
It's just a straight
direct
line.
Flight.
Yeah.
Do you fly for business at all? Or?
No. Well,
so
if
it's
I
just pleasure.
Of course, no. No, the plane flies 75% of the time for business.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Of course. I'm sorry. I should have known
silly man. What kind of crazy man are you? Anyway?
So what happens around here when the sun goes down and it's just, do people turn in early? Because it's hard. I suppose it's hard to sleep in the tents because once the heat comes that, you know.
Yeah, they cool off. It's fine. You know,
once the dew point goes down, it's great.
Yeah. It, you know, it goes down into the 60s at night. It's very pleasant.
But then do people party, or you know, people come over and go, we're going to have a...
Well, you know, I don't party, and I don't know a lot of people that do party. You know, it's exhausting. You're out in the sun walking around, you know.
You just go to sleep.
Put 13, 14 miles on your legs during a day.
Well, I've been doing it. I know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you're done. Have a nice dinner with friends and go home, go to bed.
Well,
because you want to get up early in the morning and do it all over again.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to watch these planes. And this is a great place to watch these shows going on, you know. Well, that is cool. Thank you for talking to me, John. I appreciate
it.
Appreciate it. It was great.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
So are you here?
I decided to just come
just
out here.
Just for fun?
I love this show. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And
How many have you been
This is my second one. So it took me a while to get. I'm actually parked literally almost under the tower. So I came because I'm tired of the whole political thing going on. And I think what happens is there's so much of that going on in media that to come here and just talk about something that has nothing to do with any of that, you know, except peripherally.
Something that's fun rather than stressful.
Just, and people are having fun. They're just here to do what you just talked about. And that's what I love about it. It's just, you know, it's just one of those great celebrations. And there's a couple of other ones. Like, I'll go to Sturgis. You know, and that's always a
You've been down to Sun and Fun in the fall? In
have
the
not been down to Sun and Fun.
Well, Sun and Fun is exactly like this, only a quarter of the size.
So it's a little more of a community.
Well, it's a little more, you can get around, you can actually see everything. Here, you can spend a week here and not
see
half
You wouldn't
see
everything.
It.
No, no.
Possible, you know?
So, but I'll be here all week, so, as the comedians say.
I have to go home Thursday. I have to work on Friday.
Well, good to meet you.
I have to make money to pay for this.
Pay for the plane.
It's craziness, yeah.
That's
but
same here.
Bob.
Bob.
Nice to meet
you. Bob Davis. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
I appreciate
have
it.
Fun.
Thanks a ton, man.
Well, I don't know about you, but as the attack on Pearl Harbor continues here at the air show, I've been hearing about flying cars most of my life, and I can't wait for an actual flying car to be mass-produced. We're going to hear from the CEO of a company about to market a flying car next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. We're back in the Mobile Podcast Command studio just here at the air show, right underneath the tower at EAA 2016 in Oshkosh. And you might hear the F-18s go over again. Well, it is summer, and we've had some big storms here at EAA. You know, and those big storms, they come because of high heat and humidity. And when you get the high winds, you can get water damage, you can get hail damage, and you can get all kinds of different kinds of damage to the exterior of your home. And with the storms and the storm damage are going to be people knocking at your door offering a great deal on storm damage repair. But the fact is, you don't know these people. And what happens is often they demand partial or all the payment up front, and then they disappear or they do shoddy work. So what do? Well, you call a name that you know and a name that you can trust when it comes to storm damage repair, storm damage specialist, Cairo Contracting. Here's the number, 612-702-2357. Ed Cairo grew up in St. Paul and, of course, Bloomington, and Cairo Contracting is a Better Business Bureau accredited business. So because Ed is a local guy, you know he's not going anywhere. Residential and commercial roofing, siding, gutters, and window repair and installation. And here's the thing. They only do exterior work, so they don't do interior work, so they specialize on storm damage repair and also exterior work with your house. And of course, Cairo Contracting is storm damage specialists. For 15 years, Cairo Contracting, residential and business exterior remodeling experts and storm damage specialists, the name you know when it comes to storm damage repair and exterior remodeling, residential and commercial. Cairo Contracting, 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. Cairo Contracting. Okay, here's segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show, number 37. Live from the EAA Air Show in Oshkosh, you're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. For more of the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. So live at the EAA Air Show, just ahead of the fireworks, which hopefully I can get in the show. We'll see what happens. So we're going to talk about the flying car in this segment. It's a dream many of us have had for many years. I suppose as long as there have been cars on the road and airplanes, car and plane geeks, engineers, pilots, auto enthusiasts, mechanics, and futurists have dreamt of the day when flying is as simple as climbing in, fastening your seatbelt, and turning the key. But taking the first steps to a real mass-produced flying car is a little more tricky.
My name is Sam Bosfield.
And you're with Samson Switchblade.
Yes, I'm the CEO and founder and initiator of the design.
What got you interested in a flying car?
You know, it started, actually, I was an architect for 25 years. Towards the end of that career, I started doing more and more inventions. And some of them had to do with my love, which is aviation. Got the attention of some Boeing engineers, and quite frankly, before I even realized it, I was using the Boeing engineers and Boeing's data and computer points for after-hours design on a supersonic pusher plane, propeller plane, and we wanted to break the sound barrier. We had the design perfected, approached Steve Fawcett, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was interested, he wanted to break the sound barrier, about 19 world's records, which we could still do, but at that time, he was on a ground mission, and so he was going to do that, and ours next, and Breitling was going to maybe do the other half of the funding and go. He ended up disappearing.
Right.
And so I had to kind of push the reset button. I looked at aviation, figuring out, okay, I could continue on cutting edge, fast, all that kind of jazz. We have it there. But what does aviation really need? And what I got was that it needed to be more user-friendly. It needed to be used more. It's really the only deal, is it's just kind of used casually. And if you look at the future, all of the movies about the future, almost every one, Star Wars, Star Trek, Fifth Element, they all deal with transportation in the air. And that's
personal transportation.
Personal transportation in the air. And that's what I see it happening. So decided to do something that would be a step that direction.
So how far of a step is this? So it's a three-wheel, so it's a yeah. three-wheel vehicle.
The vehicle is a three-wheel vehicle. It's the wings swing closed under clamshell doors in the belly of the vehicle to tuck away for ground use so that they're not damaged. The tail folds back into the body so that it's, again, behind the bumpers so it can't be harmed from the rear. And then you just drive off. So you can keep it in your garage, keep it wherever you want to be handy at. Drive to the closest airport, unfurl the wings in about 2 minutes, take off, fly to the destination airport closest to where you want to be, and then do the reverse and drive those last few miles and bypass all the traffic and everything in between.
You have to have a pilot's license to fly this. This isn't something that's, although you just talked about fly-by-wire, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's our new system. But yes, you need a pilot's license, private pilot's license to fly it. It's an experimental aircraft, so it falls under those regulations. And that's where you find the cutting edge things. That's why we're introducing it that way.
Now, you wrote on the pamphlet that this is also a home build.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit, because this, of course, is the home build. This is Valhalla of home build.
Sure, right? Exactly.
So how does it work for home build?
Well, home builders, basically we have a rule, which is 51% rule, which is the owner, the purchaser of the vehicle has to be there and be helping, at least being educated through that 51%. So then in the end, they have the benefit of knowing how their vehicle is built, how to maintain it, because they're giving the owner's manual and saying you have the right to maintain it. You don't have to take it to a licensed aircraft mechanic. You can if you choose to, but you have the option to do that. What that does is that there's two things that enter in. Certified aircraft are certified and then locked in stone. They cannot be changed. And so you end up with, you know, 4 years to certify something, and then as soon as it's certified, it's 4 years out of date.
Right.
Technology is advancing rapidly. Ground rental aircraft can be updated daily if you wanted to. Most guys look at every other year, and they're looking at new models. So that's where you find the cutting-edge technology and the latest.
A lot of these flying cars, and I'm sure you're aware, they're either in the prototype stage, or they don't fly, or they fly attached to some kind of a tether.
Mm.
It seems to be a problem because it's this promise of a flying car, and we don't ever really see them.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting question. When do you think and I'm you and let's just say your competitors, which in your case it's, you know, probably not competitors, it's just everybody trying to get this thing going. When do you think that we'll see a day where people talked about the driverless car for years? We're starting just barely, it's maybe in the experimental phase.
Right.
I dare not think of the regulatory efforts for something like this. God forbid we would have the freedom to just take off and fly from wherever.
I know, and that's the difference. We've had flying cars since the 50s. There's been, first flying car was before the 50s. There was actually one that was certified by the FAA earlier. And the efforts between then and now are mostly, I think, the regulations, but also material choices. There was a time when regulations were easy and the materials weren't there, and so we didn't really have a good functioning flying car.
Right.
And now, then there was a period where the regulations went out of control, in my mind, greatly. And so it became very difficult to do something like this, especially if you're trying to do two, like a four-wheel car and a plane. It's just, how do you deal with the massive regulations?
I don't even know. I don't even want to think about it.
Just crazy. So in our approach, we are a three-wheel vehicle, which most closely approximates an aircraft.
Right.
And we deal with motorcycle regulations, which are much lesser. And I think for us, the runway is a much easier way to go than the four-wheel guys trying to do that right now. And so for us,
so this is the first stage.
Yeah, it's the first stage. And I think, you know, we'll have flying cars. We should be flying easily in 2017, and I hope in production in that same span of time.
Right now you have a prototype.
We have a ground prototype, a radar control prototype. We've been in the wind tunnel twice, and that gets you within 3%. So we really know right now what we're going to do. It's now building the pre-production prototype and then doing the test flying, which is that gets you that last 3%. You have to find out what you don't know.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing. We'll be done as soon as we can, hopefully early in the year in 2017. We'll see how well we do on that.
Is it hard to find backers?
It's been a hard road. We have had really good success with the people who know what we're doing and follow. The guys, we have over 12,000 Facebook followers, many, many thousands on our newsletter. Those guys came in, and actually a lot of them pitched in hard money to pre-buy a Switchblade just so that we could get forward, because our first guy was from NASA. He's a NASA engineer. We had Boeing engineers. We have airline captains. These are qualified people. They see what they see, and they're coming on board and saying, hey, I want
to help. So what are these, about six figures?
It's about $140,000 if you get everything, including builder assist.
Right.
And that gives you almost everything but the paint.
Right.
So I think it's in the range. It's close to what a BMW 7 Series would cost.
Sure.
And so I think a lot of people still be able to do this.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Good luck. It's everyone's dream.
And, you know, talking to Sam made me realize how complex building something as revolutionary as the flying car actually is, how many steps you have to go through to get there. It's one of the things that you learn here at the EAA Air Venture Air Show in Oshkosh, among many. There's so much to see and so much to learn about aviation. It's mind-blowing. The EAA Air Venture Show here in Oshkosh is an amazing event that leaves a big impression. For me, I ended up coming away with this concept that it's all about freedom, the freedom to fly. Next, we're live at the EAA Air Show in Oshkosh. To hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. To sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. just ahead of segment four for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I am live at the air show aboard Mobile Podcast Command, and a lot of talk about aviation at this event. And of course, when you talk about aviation, one of the newest developments is Alpha Systems AOA, because there's a lot of talk about safety in general aviation. And one of the biggest problems in general aviation is people who lose lift or lose angle of attack when they turn on that final approach to land. So if you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, and it saves lives. That is the bottom line. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. That'll tell you more about it. And if you're here at the air show, visit Alpha Systems in Building C, and they can give you a full rundown. Be safe. Alpha Systems AOA. They started the AOA revolution in general aviation. Alpha Systems. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast and hosting me here at the EAA Air Show. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show live from the EAA Air Venture Air Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. So in the final few minutes of this show, some final thoughts on this very special event in Oshkosh every year, the EAA Air Venture Air Show. The freedom to fly. And of course, right behind my truck are the air traffic controllers with audio of the tower, just a few feet from where I am parked.
Hotel Drager, search your base now. You're on the citation about a mile final, runway 27 to land on the orange strap.
Land orange strap, roger. On the citation.
Here, and continue the descent for runway 27 downwind.
Now you're going to hear pilots refer to how busy this show is. And this is the busiest tower in the United States just for the 4 or 5 days that... That we're on.
So rolling on the downwind, I'll call your base. Rolling on the downwind, drop your gear. Tail dragger, start to turn towards the numbers now. Continue towards the numbers, you're clear to land on the orange dot, runway 27. Silver 2-6, clear to land on the orange dot, runway 27. Your final tail dragger, just turn and be final now.
I can listen to this all day. I love it. It's one of the best things about the show.
And the lowing on downwind, turn your face now. Lowing on, yeah, Lake Sharp. Turn in right towards the numbers of the runway, orange dot, good land. He's Texan. You'll be following the lowing there. He's on the right base, turn in towards airport.
Texan doesn't see this, go away.
Citation, turn right and call flag in the parking. Okay, Texan, you could widen out there to the north. He's turning the final right now.
And like I said, they just refer to it by airplane type. They don't have call signs.
We're pointing right towards the runway. Right towards the runway, orange stack, clear to land. Good job.
Hey, Green Bay approach on 126.3. They'll keep you, they'll be able to give the approach sign, sir.
Roger, 126.3.
With 216.1 confirmed, we're going to pitch on dispatch.
I need you left off the runway, please.
I just told him to get off the runway. There you go. You had to tell him again.
Hey, tailbagger, get off the runway, please. There's somebody behind you. Thank you.
Well, as you've probably figured out by now, EAA is a cacophony of noise. Planes, helicopters, music, people, trams, the sound of booths running various promotions, and the high-end two-story airplane and avionics manufacturers pavilions like this one, with their music, air conditioning, and food, and coffee. And it's wonderful. This is a week-long celebration of flying and having anything to do with flying. Now, for those who don't know, it started decades ago, back in the 70s, as a gathering for something called home builders. Since the 1920s, I learned today, private aircraft were so expensive that there was a space for something called home-built, and then later experimental. It was at EAA that Bert Rutan started down the road to groundbreaking work that he and his brother did with SpaceX and countless other companies and people who have made contributions to civilian, commercial, and military aviation in the United States and the world. Last year was my first year at EAA, and I suppose it was good enough to go out and record the sounds of aircraft, air traffic control, and the sounds of the show, all that. This year, I don't think it's going to be good enough. So I set out this day to head out to these distant fields in 90-degree temperatures with 80-degree dew points, for sure. One of the cool things is there's been some great entertainment here. Survivor played, Third Eye Blind played, and there were other bands scheduled to come in on the Ford stage and play, which is great. When you have the big sponsors, you can do that kind of stuff. And the night the Third Eye Blind played, there was, as the sky darkened, there was something going on over by the runway. And I left the truck and I walked up, because I'm by the tower, so I have to walk about half a mile to get up to the runway. And I realized there were about six or seven big, giant balloons. And I have to tell you, the balloons, back to the balloons, right? I told you I was going to talk about balloons. The balloons really got me. Because after the heat of the day passes, for the people staying at the show, working the show, when the wind finally dies down and the people that are camping and stuff walk up to be part of this live show, whatever it is, Survivor or Third Eye Blind or whatever is playing, whoever's playing at the Ford stage, when the wind dies down, you have this night show. So it's really special. And here, while Third Eye Blind is playing and the sun is setting, is a huge line of balloons in the dimming sky. You can hear the burners, you know, illuminating the inside of the balloon, sometimes in unison. And it, when I saw that, something clicked for me. This whole thing is as much about freedom as it is about anything. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of themes here at this air show. But you take away the sense that almost anything is possible. And that's one of the things I love about this show. There's a tremendous amount of optimism and a feeling that you can do it. You can do it. Yes, you can. You can do it. So when I saw the balloon, something clicked for me. And it came, this concept of freedom kind of came to me. And, you know, pursuant to some of the conversations I've been having on Facebook about the political stuff, there are roughly 500,000 active certified pilots in this country, according to one source. When you look at civilian pilots, I suppose some have said it's closer to 150,000. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. One of the issues discussed here at EAA is the fact that roughly 20,000 airline pilots retire every year in the U.S., and this is creating a shortage of airline pilots. I talked recently about the education system in one of the podcasts I did, and I talked about teaching kids to code. And I was chided by a listener about that. So I looked it up, and I wanted to see. The education system does teach kids to code, but it's not what some people think. Actually, only about 2% of the high school AP students, advanced placement students, are being taught to code as of 2013. Probably a little higher by now. But what about teaching junior high and high school kids and other kinds of kids how to code, or other kinds of adult skills? Because young people can do college-level work. I know, because I did when I was in high school, and a lot of my friends did. And as I'm sitting here watching all this, I'm thinking, what about learning to fly? Because being able to fly as a skill is a ticket to a different kind of freedom for a lot of people. Civilian aviation is going to continue to grow and change in the U.S. in the coming years. There's going to be all kinds of different options for flying places to do things in business. And when we think of freedom, we don't think too much about flying. We think in other kinds of terms, like guns and taxes. And I suppose that's important, but what if you could go when you wanted to go, where you wanted to go, in the air, without all the security and the hassle of commercial flying? What if you could fly your car if you wanted to? These are questions that I don't hear asked, and this is what I'm talking about when I talk about this great sense of optimism and with engineering and technology and the skills that bring these kinds of ideas like the flying car into being. And this is just one example of a tribe or a group of people or an industry, whatever you want to call it, doing things that are really incredible, where technical skill, education, entrepreneurial spirit, business, and vision come together. Why can't we teach that to our kids? And the fact is that here at EAA, there are all kinds of programs for teaching flight and teaching how to build aircraft to young people, all the way up to colleges and the military, demonstrating, lecturing. All of the big companies, companies that serve the home builders, are lecturing and teaching people how to do what they do. They can teach kids, too. And there are kids here learning this stuff, and they love it. They are super turned on by what they're seeing here. So, it's a great experience to be around people who have nothing to do all day but talk flying and see them talking to kids. I heard two old flight instructors talking on one of the trams, and this guy was saying, I have two students. I had one that was 8 and one that was 14, and the guy was like, how was that? And he goes, it was great. They were learning to fly, and they were flying. What about teaching kids to fly? What about teaching all of us to fly, as I said? Because watching these balloons made me realize that this is about a lot more than planes here at Air Venture. Planes are pretty cool, but so is freedom. That's all for this week's installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, live from Oshkosh. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to visit thebobdavispodcast.com and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast Bobline newsletter. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. That's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, live from Mobile Podcast Command, using my different mic systems for different tasks. Everything's packed away, so I'm using my little tiny USB mic for this particular show. So let me know how you think it sounds. I don't think it sounds that great, but I got to start this thing up and roll on out of here. Remember the storm damage specialist, just in case you suffer any serious damage to the exterior of your home with all the summer storms. 612-702-2357 gets you in touch with Cairo Contracting. They only do exterior work, and they specialize in storm damage repair. For 15 years, Cairo Contracting, 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. And thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. For emergency service, residential and business in Minneapolis and St. Paul, suburbs to metro and suburbs, 612-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Check them out at ryanplumbing.com. They've been around for four generations. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Well, it's been a great week here at EAA in Oshkosh, and it's time to head out. It's Friday. Got to get back to the Twin Cities. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show on AM 1280, The Patriot in Minneapolis, and also right here at the Bob Davis Podcast page, or, of course, if you subscribe, you're already getting it posted in clean, clear digital sound. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I've had a great time posting pictures from this event. And also, thanks for signing up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. I got to get back and start working on the newsletter for August, so I'm looking forward to that. If you've signed up, you'll get it. I can't send people who email me the newsletter. You have to sign up for it so we can get permission for us to send you email through mail. Chimp. So sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. Right there at the top of the page, there's a sign up form. And thanks for listening to Podcast 531, the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 37. I guess it's time to head out. I'm sorry to go, but I guess it's time to head out. Thanks for listening.